You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. I am Benoit from Geneva, Switzerland, currently on tour in Birmingham, UK. And I am here with, who am I with exactly? I am here with Top Notch Energy, a new member, White Rabbit, that I figure is from Toronto, Canada. And I really hope that Robert Lawrence will join us in a few to continue the discussion that we are having off air about the planning of the event of the future, if you want. So the point we were was like, is the plan something that is set in stone for the ages, or it is something that is adjusted over time, or even made over time, if you want. So Top Notch Energy had an idea about it. He had a great opinion on the topic, so I will give him the floor.
No, he was talking about the assassination with Booth and another these other stories from history. And, just letting them know that most of the people around here feel there's a metascript that's been adhered to, whether they're following the Bible or another storyline. There's been a consistent story whereby everybody from all walks of life are on the same page. And from the government to the academia to the media to entertainment, they're all on the same page with this metascript, if you will.
Yes, I'm of the same opinion. I think that everyone is at a certain level of power in on it. And I don't think that any real power is detained by the political leaders of the world. As I did mention, affair for me, as far as I'm concerned, they are just spokesperson for an organization. And most of the time, they don't even really know what the organization is about or what is the end goal. They might think that they know, but they don't really know the end game, since I think that the end game was planned long ago.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So that was the bumper, which means that we are clear for 20 minutes without another bumper. So yes, I think that there is a bigger plan and that the people that are in power are in on it, but they don't really hold any power. There are people up top of them that are giving them the storyline and everything. And I think that you are right. The case for celebrity, politician, political leader, union leader. Everyone that is kind of an influence in the world has to be in on the plan, in one way or the other.
Including a lot of people in the alternative community as well.
Definitely.
Conspiracy. What about that? Unreal?
Yes, I think so. But the fact is that in the end, it's, and I say that many times, it's rather easy to steer someone even with that as all the goodwill of the world into a certain direction. So, for example, if you take someone that has a YouTube channel that is accepting donation, and let's say that is the main gig of that person. A person doesn't have any other job. So let's say you and me, we were starting to fund that person, even as private entities. Let's say we give him $1 each a month, so basically he can almost live off what we are giving to him. If it so happens that the two individuals, that person in that topic, you know what I mean, it will be easy for us to have that person speak only what we want him to speak, because we are his life or her lifeline.
Right. I suppose. I don't know.
I mean, if I were to start a YouTube channel, Conspiracy Time, then everyone was like, yeah, you must say that the Earth is flat, and we think that Earth is flat, and those people are my financial backers. I might be inclined to start to talk more about that specific topic than any other.
Like, even somebody like Eric Dubay, he does a lot of good work with flat Earth stuff, but every once in a while, he'll throw in the something blatantly, like either white supremacist or like anti-Semitic, he'll throw in just for that. That gives automatic discreditation to what, to, you know, the other 99. That tells me he's an agent, because
Yes.
It's
funny because sometimes I know that the narrative is controlled. I know that each and everything I hear on TV is fake or either controlled or programmed. But sometimes, just sometimes, there is a small nugget of information or a piece of footage that is making me think that not everything is controlled. Or it's just the plan for them to believe that we are not completely controlled. But let me give you an example. And I discussed this with Babette just yesterday. There was this guy named, his name escaped me, but whatever. He was a French general that was attached to NATO a few years back. And he was invited last week on French TV, and he was asked about some declaration that he made around the time of the US election, which were basically that a certain community had control of the media, and that it was why the election could have been stolen. I don't believe in election, by the way, but that was what he was saying. Mm. So the journalist, which is a member of that community, asked him, but what community? What community are you speaking about? So the guy basically said, you know which community I'm speaking about, without mentioning even the name of said community. And immediately he was cut off the air, and he was saying that this guy was an anti-Semite, and he was supposed to never be invited again, and that his opinion wasn't worth shit. So as much as I know that everything is controlled, sometimes I see those little things that make me believe that there might be a slip-up. You know what I mean? Maybe the guy was not supposed to say that. Maybe it's all a narrative also. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a tough call. Where's White Rabbit?
I think that she's desperately trying to connect. Oh. That's what I am having on my screen right now. So maybe White Rabbit disabling the camera will allow more bandwidth to be diverted to only audio.
Did you end up smuggling in any Swiss into Birmingham?
I did bring enough to make a fondue for me and Skylarkin, which was great. But I did not bring any more cheese because the thing is that I am a cheap guy and I had a rather tight limit on the amount of weight I could bring to the UK. So
gotcha.
I did bring 800 grams of fondue cheese, but that's about it because I wanted to bring some fresh clothes to impress her.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like you're having a pretty good time over there.
I would say that it might be the time of my life, really. Mm-hmm. I'm having a blast. She's a great person. We really get into getting to know each other. And she's really an impressive person. And if I manage to pull that off, I might just move full-time to Birmingham.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's really the experience of a lifetime, almost. I had great times. I had kids, so I cannot say it's the best time of my life. The moment where my kids were born is probably better. But really, I'm now age 37 and I'm having a great experience. And I really feel that I could go into this town and get older with her, just speaking conspiracy theory and having a blast at life, simply.
You've got like a skill, right? Something with removing hazardous materials from metals. Is that what you do?
I only did that for a short amount of time, but the thing is that in the service industry, I consider myself to be good looking and I have the accent which had a little bit of exotism. So in the retail industry, I can probably figure something out pretty quickly. Yeah. Just today I was speaking with a guy from a grocery shop that is looking for someone. The guy was basically saying if I had a work permit, it would have taken me. So just some dedication, it's simple to do it.
Breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe because the network in the UK is not good. You screwed down, sadly. But I found that it's a great country, it's a great city. And like I said, it's never too late.
You're breaking up a little, Benoit. You back?
I'm really sorry, but the like I said before I was cut off, the network in the UK is not as reliable, the 4G network, as what I was used to in Switzerland. And I could switch to the Wi-Fi of the place I am in, but I'd rather not have the person I'm renting the place from having access to my internet research and everything I'm looking up or everything like that. You know.
Right.
I'd rather keep some privacy if it's possible.
You work off a hotspot. You get a hotspot with your phone. If you can speed up your connection, maybe.
Yes, but I'm already on the phone, so I'm using directly the 4G connection. And let's dox them because they suck. It's the name of the operator is Three. So if you are ever in the UK, don't use Three.
I think I use Leica Mobile.
Yeah, Leica Mobile is rather reliable, but I made an uneducated choice while I was at the airport because I really needed to be able to connect to the internet. And the great thing, and by the way, it has to be said, fuck Microsoft. Microsoft detected that I was using another network and they locked me out of my email account that I was using for the last 10 years. So fuck them in their stupid ass that is completely out of out of any idea I have of what is logical. You know, I'm using the same cell phone, just the network is different and they fucking lock me out. So yeah, it is what it is. The tech company are not there to help us. They are just here to extract money from us and bother us as much as they can.
I can't believe that it's all been purged, though. It has to be there somewhere. I mean, you've got to be able to access that. I mean, 10 years, all the addresses.
Yeah, I will find a way. I will find a way, but I cannot do it while I'm in the UK. It's too difficult. I have to get back to Switzerland, use the same network I was using, and try to contact Microsoft in any way possible. But while I'm in the UK, it's a little bit difficult because, yes, I'm not using the same cell phone, and it might be a pain in the ass. So as far as I know, I tried everything I could to retrieve my email account, and maybe I will manage to do it, maybe not. In the end, I will continue to live, and it will not change much.
If nothing else than this story, this proves what Richard said. He was basically calling you an agent.
If you were an agent,
you would have had many, you know, backup phones, no problems whatsoever. Yeah, I mean, you would have been set up.
Well. While I was in the UK with Skylark team, I won't say the name Jacqueline, in a certain matter that I've maybe made her doubt that I was an agent. So who knows? Maybe I am. It will be insane.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that Richard is saying that I am an agent because I was supposed to meet the guy in real life. So. it's rather funny when you consider, but whatever.
I was curious about the. I was curious about the dark web. I was thinking about that the other day. What are your feelings on the dark web?
I don't know much about the dark web. The only time I used the dark web was to order drugs online. So that's the only part of the dark web I can speak up about with a little bit of experience. Anything else, I know nothing about.
I guess I was kind of curious about that. But you used Tor to get on there?
Yes. And there was many different supermarkets for drugs, and we just picked one and started to order massive amount of MDMA from Amsterdam. And I really hope that what I am saying will not come back to bite me in the ass, but that's what we did. We did order coke and MDMA from Amsterdam via the dark web, and it was always delivered on time, and there was never any issue with the customs or anything.
Doesn't make sense, like, if it's, how dark is it really? If you could just go to Tor, and then it doesn't seem like it's that difficult to get to. So how was it really even?
Oh, I don't think that there is any protection or anonymity really. I think that it's kind of a trap if you want, because they just register the people that are doing like child porn or those type of things. And that's just another way to centralize them and to get them, you know. And to also make them feel like they are anonymous and protected. So when you think that no one is watching you, you know, you can scratch your ass or whatever you want. And it's the same thing in the internet. So maybe they just made this as a psyop just to get people to act as if no one was watching them on the internet.
I've got to assume that every pretty much keystroke is at least cataloged. And if they need to go back to it, it looks so.
Yeah, definitely. And if you ever elevate yourself in society or become a danger, blackmail will be rather easy with each and everyone individual on Earth search result. But maybe I'm wrong and Tor is completely secure. But in the end, it's probably based on the same protocol that everything else is based on, so I don't think there is much security in that.
Mm. I'll tell you, I kind of feel like maybe, I don't know if we were wrong about COVID, but it does seem like things are really starting to open up. People are taking off the masks. Like a couple of weeks ago, it was different. I'm in the New York area, and stadiums are filling up, baseball stadiums. Is something going to happen in the next year or two, or is it possible that this could be it? And maybe they accomplish what they need to accomplish during this time period.
I really hope so, but I'm afraid that they are using the different variants to get us into another lockdown as soon as summer starts. I'm really afraid that it's going to be the pattern of life for the next year. That it will be detente, lockdown.
Yeah, so I think, somebody used like the boa constrictor kind of analogy. You know, that it constricts, then it lets go, but then it constricts a little harder. Kind of like a release valve every once in a while.
And that operation attained many goals already. So even if it was to stop now, many goals were attained. Many of the goals that they had fixed at the beginning were attained, I think. Like masks and vaccine and everything in between. And it was a great compliance test for the elite also.
People, and the amount of people that can work at home, and the amount of people that just aren't even needed to work, period. for things to work, for things to continue. There are like good amount of people who didn't need to work and just they were given, I guess, a stipend with unemployment or a stimulus, and that, you know. And I see lines around the corner. We do have in New York, they do have medicinal marijuana, and I see this one retail outlet. There's always a line around the door, people waiting 10 deep to get in there constantly. All housewives, you know, all different demographics of people there. So.
Yes, I think
maybe that's kind of.
I've said many times. I think that marijuana in my exactly. You say that it's the soma of our era. I really think so. I think that in the end, it doesn't cost much really. It gets you stoned. It gets you uninterested in anything that is happening around you, and it's not too destructive. I mean, you will probably not sell your mom TV to buy weed.
No, it's pretty harmless. Yeah, it is a non-aggressive. It doesn't make you want to take on anybody and get aggressive with anybody physically.
Yes, yes.
Unless you're in a sporting event.
Yeah, yeah, really. But it's interesting that we went over that topic because I have been off the weed for the past 10 days right now because we are already Friday. Yes, so for the past 10 days, I have been off the weed and 37. I have been smoking for the best part. When I say the best part, the only time I did not smoke while I was in jail. So for almost 25 years, I was smoking weed on a daily basis. And more with time, I had an enormous consumption of weed, probably between 2 to 3 grams a day of the potent stuff. And I have been off it for 10 days. And I said that I would say that I see my life and the world with much more clarity than I ever did.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't gone 10 days probably in maybe 5 years. But
I'm really afraid.
When I do go, I go like a week or here, or I do take breaks. It is much easier than alcohol or other drugs for sure. And you do get instant results back. Like you felt better pretty quick, right?
Yes, I will not be too specific, so I will speak on a larger sense. But just today I was with Skylarking and we were having a nice conversation and something that I was what can I say? That otherwise I'm looking for the word in English, something that I was hiding in myself and that I was not even allowing me to think about. It just came back to me and I had a breakthrough about my childhood because probably the weed was helping getting those events hidden in my mind. And suddenly they came back.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
So yes, I would say that even if someone is using weed, maybe having a small period off is a good thing. And really, I was in a fog, and I'm not like those people that will say, yeah, I quit, so it's shit, and I will say that it's useless or anything. Weed really helped me during different periods of my life, but I think that it's great to have a little bit of time off just to see the world for what it is. And also, the stuff that they are selling right now, it's very, very strong. So it's not for everyone in the end.
I agree. You think they spray it? Even the ones they say are organic, they're sprayed with something?
I would say that the people that are trafficking drugs in general, they are not the most kind-minded towards people. So even if they don't intentionally put poison in it, I mean, you just grow it as fast as you can. You don't take much time to remove any pesticide or anything. So each and everyone that is interested in their health and everything they put into their body should really consider what they are smoking. That's my opinion.
Right.
And I want to say we have been joined by the man himself. Our dear leader, Fakeologist, is with us. So, hi, Ab, how are you doing today?
Bonsoir, mes amis. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah.
I can.
Hi.
So for everyone listening, this is the lovely voice of White Rabbit.
Hi, White Rabbit. Are you in Toronto?
Yes, yes.
North York, kind of.
Where are
you? North York, like a border of North York and Toronto.
Yeah, I know where North York is. I was just there today.
Yeah, you were there. We should have get together, say hello or something.
No, I was really busy. I do a lot of delivery. I don't have time. So.
What delivery you do?
Oh, I do all kinds of stuff, boxes. You name it, I do it.
Is that Fekorog is talking?
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. You have jobs. I'm a painter, decorative painter. Last year I was working. This year only two jobs. That's
oh, it. You sound Russian. Are you Russian?
No, I'm from Hungary. I've been in Canada since 1987.
Oh, Hungary. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
They got bounced out of the Euros today, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yes, and it's really funny because since we are speaking about Hungary, the Prime Minister there, Viktor Orban, had made some interesting laws toward gay propaganda. And apparently some asshole thought it was funny to run in front of the Hungary football team with a gay flag during the anthem, I think, at the Euro of football.
Yeah, I know. This agenda everywhere.
Well, one thing is, they've had sold-out stadiums. They had four games there, I believe, and it was 70,000 plus, no masks, nothing, versus Amsterdam and England and Munich and some of the other sites where it was maybe 15, 20% capacity with masks and all the rest.
Wow, that's impressive. Huh? I follow the Protestant stuff, it really inspires me, you know, see all the people together marching against the globalists. So, yeah, that's good to keep up with the news, but these days it's so fast everything happens. It's part of the mind control, MK Ultra stuff, you know what I mean. So people get confused, they lose their identity, feel so bad to accept the new world order, right? So, yeah, it's news happening really quickly these days. Yeah.
Yes, but I have to say that I'm kind of hopeful because, like in Switzerland, where I'm living in the rest of the year, maybe not for so long, but anyway, where I'm living for the rest of the year, everyone is masked up in the shop and they will bother you if you don't wear a mask, whatever. But in the UK, it seems that no one really minds. You can go into a shop unmasked and no one really cares. I have probably been asked to put the mask on once in a cafe and that's about it. So sometimes I do wear it because I just cannot be bothered and I am a tourist and I'm also still supposed to be in quarantine. So I try to avoid confrontation. But starting tomorrow, I will not be in quarantine anymore. And I can say that you can go to almost all places without a mask.
Yeah, I myself cannot go shopping. I get cognitive dissonance as soon as I see people with masks. I go to people, I tell them it's an agenda. I send them to factual info, anything I can do, you know. I draw on the wall against the New World Order. I cannot take what's happening, so. And yeah, I'm very lucky because here where I live, barely anybody wears masks. So at least that much I can walk on the street and I don't really feel that much what's happening. But as soon as I go shopping, forget it, I lose it. Like any store I go into, I tell them, look, it's unconstitutional, bylaws were made by corporation, blah, blah, blah. They want to arrest me. I'm like £20. What am I going to do, you know? So it's crazy. That's why I created those masks to revolt, return all stuff on it. You know, something we have to do, it's crazy.
Yes. So,
but it's like that worldwide, everywhere. In India, I saw a video, they forced vaccinating people and some other parts. I guess as much the globalists bought up a land, as much more tyranny they can do upon the people. That's what I observe based on the news. And it's very sad.
Yes, but like I said, I'm hopeful because of the fact that I had not traveled since the start of that pandemic, that pseudo-pandemic. And I'm seeing great things in Birmingham toward that. I think that for some reason, the English people are more ballsy about the mask regulation and everything like that than the people from Switzerland. In Switzerland, everyone is more compliant. So So I'm really hopeful in that sense, but it will take a lot of time and effort, and some people will probably have to be removed from the physical world for everything to get better.
Hey, yeah. White Rabbit, I do my show in a couple minutes. I do an 8:30 show. Do you want to come over there and then have an interview with me?
Interview with you? About what? Sure, I don't care. No,
just about your views on Corona. That's all.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Which room you gonna be?
Okay, I'll move you in one sec. I'll start the show. You can listen. And
I wasn't trying to short circuit you, by the way. It's just so happened that we were having a great discussion.
No, it's great. I'm glad you got her
to go into the last room.
No, I'm glad you got her working with Discord. That's good. Now I'll take over for a bit. So I'll move you into the
Which room? No, I just was walking. Do not fight over me. Was a joke.
No, we are not. We are not. We always have a great understanding and everything. And as the great Frank is saying, I'm only here to serve. And it's great if you join up, because one-on-one interview, it will be fantastic. And you are both in Toronto, so we are not fighting over you yet.
No. No, never.
No, okay. No, I'm a jokester. Don't take much of what I say too serious. I always crack a joke when I can.
Yeah, I'm always humorous too. Don't take me too seriously, you know. Life is joy, right? So,
exactly.
Should I go to see Fakeologist?
Oh, he will probably drag you in the room that he's using for his show.
Okay, so thank you for talking to me. What was your name on the
phone? Soon enough, but in the time to get everything set up.
Okay, so what was your name on
sorry?
The which name you go by on the Discord? So I recognize you.
Usually Benoit, but since I am in Birmingham, I will be Jack Benoit for a while. And now she's out of the room because Dab has dragged her out. But it's great, okay. It's fine, and we are not competing or anything. So we can continue the discussion we were having about weed. I think that's where we were at that point.
Yeah, weed and the Euros. I like Switzerland. I've always liked Switzerland as a club. I always followed them. I liked back in the didn't they make a run? In the 2014?
All I know is that as soon as it's direct elimination, Switzerland lose.
They had a good team for a while. Remember Ballon?
Yeah, but anyways. The thing is that I cannot recognize. I am an ethnic Swiss. I was born and raised in Switzerland. All my ancestry, for at least two generations, are Swiss. And I cannot recognize myself in that team. Because like you said, Valon Berami is an Albanian. He's a guy from Albania. Zerdan Shakiri, another guy from Albania. Aris Seferovic, another guy from Albania. Ricardo Rodriguez, a guy from Spain. So you got probably one guy that is like me, that is the goalkeeper, Jan Sommer, which is probably an ethnic Swiss. But it's the team for Switzerland, but it's not the team of Switzerland. And I don't really recognize myself in that team.
That's all. Russia, that's the way Hungary is all ethnic Hungarians.
Yes.
I believe Russia is all, I believe, maybe they had a Brazil, they may have had a Brazilian. I don't think so. I think Russia has always been.
I don't think Russia had never had a Brazilian in the team.
And then I think so. Romania, I'm not sure, but definitely those two.
Romania, I think they have someone, and it's a good picture of the demographic of the country, but that is not who I am, that is not who the people that built this country were, and fuck it, we are not the team for each and every fucker that came into the country to live in. It's great, whatever, if you get your food in my country, I don't care, if you get work in my country, I don't care, but just don't try to tell me that this is supposed to represent us, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's the case for almost every country, whatever, it's just funny, and I think that at this point it's just to show multiculturalism and everything. There isn't much sportive interest in that, as I see it.
I'd say like 2019, 2020 was like the big wake-up calls for me, as far as not just 9/11 or not just isolated incidents being faked, but just about everything. So I guess I've gotten over it. That's why I'm actually watching a little bit of the Euros. I'm able to like watch sport. For like a year and a half, I couldn't even watch a sporting event. I just saw like I just saw it as a a tool, part of the opium for the masses.
Yes, bread and circus.
But like I still play football. I still play, so like, if I still play it, I like to watch it. It is an enjoyable sport to watch.
Yes, it is. But the thing is that, especially in the last year, politics have so much invaded the sport. Like, for example, I use it to watch the NBA. I really like the NBA. I like the American basketball. I always did. It's become unwatchable at this point. I cannot be bothered with so much propaganda, you know what I mean? So as good as the sport is, I'm really having an hard time with all the politics that goes with it and everything. And the moment the club for the Premier League in England starting to have some stupid message on the back of their shirt, that's where they lost me, really. Because
at this point,
sports and politics, it doesn't go together. I like to be entertained, and don't bother me with that. But I agree that football is a great sport, maybe the best sport ever, because team spirit and everything, and you get to be coordinated. And also, it's a sport that is very intense, because there is no real break. I mean, no one on the pitch is having any relief from the tension or anything. So it's one of the best sports, but the politics get a little bit too much into it, sadly.
It looks like it's a white rabbit. No, she was back. She left.
Yes, I think she's bouncing from room to room for some reason.
Exactly! I don't find the other room!
Let me try to get you into the other room then.
She's looking for Fakeologist room?
No, the thing is that she was in the room with Fakeologist at one point, and I don't know why she left or whatever, but I don't think that person is the more tech-savvy that we ever had, so I will give her all the assistance she needs until she figure it out.
Yeah, also, I predicted, I falsely predicted that there would be a vax ID where you're going to have something on your phone saying that you're vaccinated in order to get into certain, markets or public spaces.
Oh, it will come.
You think it will come?
I think that it will come. Yeah, definitely. I think that I was lucky enough to be able to travel while producing just a simple black and white photocopy of the result of a PCR test, but I think that this type of thing, it will not fly for long. But there is something that might be very interesting in the near future for me, since I am in Birmingham, is that to be able to travel to the UK, I had to order 2 PCR tests, one for the second day and one for the eighth day. And the thing is that since I'm renting a shady Airbnb, the person did not give me the full address. So to the company that sold me the test, I did give the address I had, which was not complete. So they never managed to get the test through me. And since I'm locked out of my email, I don't really have any way to contact them, because they don't even have a phone line. And so basically I say, fuck it, and I say I'm going to wing it, but I did not take the 2 tests that I was supposed to take. And also, on the form I had to file to enter the UK, I also gave the same address to the UK government. So basically, the UK government has absolutely no way to reach me, since my Swiss number that they have is not working in the UK. I'm locked out of my email, and they don't even get the right address. So maybe, just maybe, it will make for an interesting time when I'm going to the airport.
Mm.
Oh, and also, I have been signing the form in different restaurants that I go with my real name and real phone number. So maybe, just maybe, if there is any type of, if they look over it, I might get the biggest fine you can imagine, because I've probably been to 20 different places signing with my real name. So I think that I'm going to test the extent of the surveillance grid for the COVID. Because as far as I know, maybe the British government is trying desperately to reach me, and they don't even know how. So I don't know. Maybe I will be fined by an amount that I will not be able to pay. I really don't know. Or maybe it will just fly as easy. That's what I think. I think that there is no real oversight, and it's just pretend. But we will see about that.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Yo mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck here.
It's me.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
So I don't think that they will jail me for that. It will make no sense. But maybe they will give me a massive fine. But what I think is that no one will give a shit, because no one is overseeing that, and it's just to see if you are compliant or not. But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the company I bought the test from has reported me to the UK government. But I mean, I can always say, but what I was supposed to do? I had no access to my mail. You don't have a phone line. And I was quarantined for 10 days. So what I will do, because it's mandatory, I think, I did not really look it up, is that I will have to take another PCR test before entering Switzerland, so it will have to be in the UK. But apart from that, I have absolutely not been following any of the guidelines they gave me when I was filing the form and everything. And I'm really looking forward to see if there is anything to it.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's a guideline. It's not that it is, you've got plausible deniability too.
But once again, if the paper form that I have been filling in many restaurants and pubs and every place I did go with Skylarkin, it might be interesting because I probably have more than 20 quarantine I broke the quarantine 20 times that can be proved if they ever numerize the file and send them to the UK government. So we'll see about that. But for that also, I have a plausible deniability. I never produce any ID. So as far as I'm concerned, there is a fucker around Birmingham that is going in restaurants and using my name and my phone number. But prove that it's me. I signed nothing. I need produce no ID. So as far as I know, it's unprovable that I did not observe quarantine. And it's also unprovable that I did not voluntarily not take the test. So I think I'm covered. I really hope so, at least.
You should be fine at this point.
Yeah. And in the end, I don't care, because whatever happens, it will be at the end of my travel. So what is done is done. I have spent a great time in the UK, and you can find me as much as you want. I just don't care about money. Money is irrelevant. Real power is people. The real power is in the people, and money has absolutely no use except spending it to have a great time. So I really don't care about that. And if anything, it will teach someone to each and every one of us about the extent of the observance of the COVID regulation in the UK. But nobody else was required.
Nobody else was around? Who's in Manchester?
We have La Française in Manchester, but she never answered my message. I'm a little bit tight on the money situation right now, but I may move to Oxford to meet Tom, and the others, they never really responded, or they don't seem to be that interested in meeting up, which is fair enough, to each their own. I met the person I wanted to meet, and I am having a great time with her, so whatever. The typo error is in Birmingham, but I don't think that he's so keen on meeting, which is sad, because he seems to be a great guy, and whatever. Cannot say that I did not try, that's all I know. I say I was going to go there, here I am. I have some spare place for each and everyone that is wanting to go and meet me in real life. I'm at St. Paul's Square, Birmingham, UK. That's as far as I can go, you know what I mean? I cannot do more than that, really. If people are not so keen on meeting up, that's on them, really. But I think that it's a shame because it's a great experience. I've already met two people from this place. The first one was Mitham in Switzerland and the other one is Skylarkin. So far, so good, really.
I had a chat with Dave J and I met up with Forest Value in Florida.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to meet as many of them. And they are great people, I figure.
Yeah. You know you're on the same wavelength. Everybody's on the same, minor detail disagreement here or there, but pretty much in agreement on most matters.
Yes. And I had the honor to be in Dave J on the live stream probably 2 years ago. So I cannot say that I don't like the guy. He's really funny.
It lost a little credibility with the JonBenet. JonBenet turning into Katy Perry. More likely the whole thing was just fabricated, wasn't that elaborate. But can't win them all.
Yes, but you can't get being Katy Perry. It's an hard sell, really. But I mean, like, Dave J did this video about Michael J. Fox, and that is one of the best things I ever saw in my life. The Dave J video about Michael J. Fox. The entertainment value is incredible. It's very funny. I was dead laughing when I was watching it. But the fact is that he's exposing the guy while making it interesting. So I have only good things to say about Dave J, even if he's a contentious character. And he's not with us anymore because he had a hard time behaving normally.
The one on the pyramids also, the pyramids and the Sphinx. Pretty good. Entertaining.
Yeah.
Nothing but a roadside attraction. An amusement park.
Probably so. And I'm really considering the fact that they were built by Napoleon army. That's a definite possibility, really.
It was nice chatting. I've got to move along tonight.
Yeah, no problem. It was great as always. And thank you for being there. Thank you for the conversation. And maybe we will speak soon. I really hope so.
Hope so too. Say hi to Skylarkin.
She is just insanely wonderful. I'm in love with that lady like no one could believe, which is great. So maybe, just maybe, it's a big maybe, but When I say something, it tends to happen. Maybe we will have the first fakeologist wedding. Just maybe. Who knows?
Wow. That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah. That's how much we connected, really.
Wow. Fantastic.
It is fantastic. But anyway, thank you for the conversation, and I will quietly log off and see Ab is saying in the other room. Have a nice evening. I figure if you are in New York, you are probably 6 hours from me, so it will make for the beginning of the evening for you.
I go to bed pretty early.
Yeah. Okay. So good night and speak soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
So, bye everyone. This has been an interesting chat, I must say, and wish me luck on my coming back to Switzerland, and like I said, maybe the first fakeologist wedding. Who knows?
That's all, folks.